Welcome to episode 4 of Digital Minds and Dark Dreams. I'm Alicia Dominguez, an English philologist and dark dreamer.
I'm Cecilia. I'm the tech savvy growth guru.
And today we want to talk about how to be a pioneer or how to pioneer a high multipotent, I can't even say it, multipotentialized business. Something that you might be. So the title is Pioneering a High Multipotentialized Business Might Be All You Need. And before we open the microphone, we've been talking and we were laughing. Can you say again that phrase about when you, is it when you stab each other on the back?
No,
The
you don't
equivalent
stab. It's like peeing each other up the back. It's just a Norwegian expression when it comes to you're just kind of what do you say, pleasing the person you're talking to or pleasing other people in a not so good way. You just say pee up, you pee up their backs.
Right. So if you're trying to please the other, right? Because I was thinking more like the stabbing business, but it's not stabbing. You're trying to
No, it's
please
not
them.
stabbing, but it's kind of a pee. If I were to pee up your back, I would do it in a not so good way. It would be
Okay.
difficult, of course. No, but
Yeah, for a man, not so much, but for a lady, yes, kind of challenging.
yes, but it's more like you kind of what do you call it in English? Yeah, pleasing in a not so good way. It's kind of.
Well, in Spain, we say licking somebody's ass.
It's almost the same, yeah.
It's
But you
licking.
pee up their back and lick it.
I'd rather
Yeah.
pee than lick, you know.
Yeah, me too. I would rather use the one. Oh God, yeah. But it's
Why
funny
do
with
we
these
need?
expressions, yeah.
Yeah, they are. And the other one we were mentioning was, you were asking me, why should we use this title? Why, what do you mean with being a high multipotential? I don't know, we could call it polymath is the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, a high multipotentialized business. What do you mean by that? And I said to you, well, in Spanish, we have this saying of putting all your meat in the grill. So give me all the, yeah, you think this is really funny. Do you have a Norwegian equivalent to that?
No, it's probably just put it all on the table. Put it
Put it
all
all.
out there.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
yes, yeah, this you think is funny because we're cooking, we love our food, you
Yeah,
see.
we do. We love food.
You
But
as
putting it
well.
all, yeah, putting the meat on the grill is a good one.
Yeah. It's like
I would
we have an
translate that
asador.
to.
Like, yeah. It's not quite a grill, it's an asador. It's like something more. But yeah, it's like to put everything you've got in the pan and then you make a meal. So why do we think that? When did you discover that you were a multipotential? Let's call
Just
it
say it
polymath.
again, multipotentialite or polymath.
A
Yeah,
polymath, that's
it's actually when I started the positive intelligence certification, I met a lady called Barbara, and she told me about this.
okay, so
Like
how long ago?
that is 5 years ago. So I was just looking into that at the time and just thinking, yeah, multipotentialite. And she said, yeah, Cecilia, you're a multipotentialite. And I was like, am I? Okay. And I needed to read some of it and just go like, yeah, I think I am. So for me, it was kind of just a thing that I was told that I am, and I looked into it at the moment, but I really didn't look too much more into it before you actually said the same thing and sent me the link with the multipotentialite thing, the TED talk. We can list that up in underneath the podcast, but it was just really, it made me think. And as I told you, I had a chat with a lady last week, and she said also the thing about which I think I told you, like when you're younger, that also says something about who you are and how you manage in the world as a grown up. And she said, what did you do, for example, as a sport when you were younger? And I was like, I danced ballet. I played volleyball, I played football, I played basketball, I was running, and I was like, oh my God. And she said, yeah, she was a long distance runner, and that was what she did. She was kind of part of a team, but still on her own. And she said, that really betrays me the way I am today.
Yeah.
And I was like, my God, that really betrays me as well. on who I am today because I'm doing all of these different kind of things and loving all of them. And I did at the time as well. I really loved, I love the ballet. I actually played piano as well. And the football was fun, even though I didn't do so well, but everything was kind of fun in their own way. And that is the same thing today.
Yeah. And when you were at uni, when you had to choose before you went to uni, difficult.
Really difficult. And that's the same thing. I actually started, I have a degree in film and media. And mm-hmm. In the eighth grade here in Norway, I actually took a course, like really voluntarily took a course in film making. Had a great time. It was me, like eighth grader. Then you're, I don't know how old you are. 12, yeah, 13, 14, 13?
Yeah, could be, yeah. Around about, yeah.
Yeah. And then it was me and all these adults. So it was like, okay. Yeah, I just signed up. It was in the newspaper. At that time, we didn't have the digital social media. So it was actually in the newspaper. And I saw it. I don't know. I can't remember if it was my mom who actually kind of tore the thing out and said, maybe this is something for you.
Right.
But yeah, so that was the film and media. I've kind of always loved films. And for me, every time we went on holiday, I was the one filming, taking photos. So it was just, yeah. So that was the start of the film and media thing. And I really love design as well. I love all of these. But my degree ended up in being in film and media and design. So, yeah.
And how have you used that later on somehow?
Oh, my God, I have. Everything of it. So, for me, I help my clients now, for example, making videos. Like videos for their company, for their brand. And I've been using that since day one, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. That was actually before video was a thing. In social media, so I had my, what do you say, my programs and tools. So I've been using that a lot, and especially the design thing. As one of my previous, what do you say, colleagues said, can you make this a nice PDF like you usually do? I was like, I can make a nice PDF. So I've been using both of them really all along the way since my first job. Even my first job was in a call center, like back office call center thing.
Yeah, it goes back. Yeah, when you start writing a list about everything that you've done, it's like, I don't know if you've ever felt that you couldn't put certain things in your curriculum in case they got scared. Have you felt that when you know, multipotentialites, we tend to have a long CV because we've tried many jobs. One of the characteristics is that after 6 months or a year doing the same monotonous job, we get bored, fed up, and we need to find another job because we don't feel fulfilled. That's one of the characteristics. And have you felt at some point that in an interview that you couldn't say certain things, or that your CV was getting far too long and nobody was going to want you? Because that was a thing here in Spain.
I was in the beginning, I was thinking about how to write my CV to kind of attract like the company or the job I was applying for. But now I haven't really thought about it because I've talked to you about this as well. It's like, this is me. It's just showing my diversity and going like, this is actually me. I do not care if you think that this is kind of stupid. Or, for example, I have on my resume that I am a reflexologist because I am. I actually spent a year doing that. So how do that kind of fit with digital and marketing? And it's like, I don't care. It's me. I actually spent a year doing that.
And why did you quit that, for example?
I didn't quit that. I still use it. I have clients today.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So I had a break now for like a half a year or something, but I still use it, and I use it so much for my clients as well. But I take the things I've learned from the reflexology into my coaching.
Right. Because but that's physical. And if you're doing an online coaching, how would you bring that? Say that you want to use that on me.
Because if you would maybe talk to me and you would say, oh my God, my neck hurts or my hip hurts or my knee hurts, I have learned that there are psychological reasons to why we have these aches in our body. It's specific things set on each of these points in our body. Because when I kind of do these what is it, treatments with your feet with the reflexology, I use both like ears and feet. That tells me something about, okay, where are your pain points, which we talk about with our clients as well in marketing and everything. Because then I would ask you, for example, if your knee hurts, I could relate that to, I wouldn't kind of go directly in, but I would say something and ask a question in regards to, so are you kind of struggling with some choices at this time, Alicia? Because our knees resembles the choices we take, and I'm taking choices, because if you're struggling to make choices, very often your knees will hurt.
Okay, say that my main problem, which is one of the problems, is my neck and my shoulders, because I know that I get stressed out and go, and also the hunch. And even in my dreams recently, a voice said to me, stop hunching, Alicia, stop hunching. Because I tend to go like this recently, because I'm not happy with my body. I'm sat down a long time. So even the voice in my dream said, stop hunching. So now I remember the voice and I go, okay. Okay, straight back. So, how would you be able to connect that again to help me?
What are the weights on your shoulders that makes you? Because shoulders is typically like if, for females, we have it on our hips and our shoulders. So shoulders, if you tense your shoulders, it will affect your neck.
Yes, and I've got a
You know,
long neck
yeah. Yeah, me too. I have a really long neck.
as well. Ballerinas, we were ballerinas. I was
Yes.
a ballerina.
But yeah, the long neck, and like stressing. And the thing you will probably notice, sometimes it will also affect this thing, your jaws.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. I got
And that is also the pressure we put on ourselves. Like being the what do you say, the solopreneurs and entrepreneurs with a lot of responsibilities. And for example, if you would talk to a man about this, the responsibility for a man would be more on his back.
Right,
He will
yes, that's
feel that. Like more shoulders, lower back, the
lower
back will
back.
hurt.
Yeah, my husband feels that.
We, at female, yeah, ladies and females, we feel it more in our shoulders, neck, and hip.
Whoa,
So
okay.
for me, it would be more okay. So what is actually weighing you down? Like there is some stress issue
There,
going
yeah.
on if you have this and this. And I can
Yes.
relate that to myself as well. I have two, what do you call, prolapses in my neck a couple of years
Ooh.
ago. So I actually have in C4 and C6. So that was due to stress.
Whoa.
So that's
And it's just
saying,
one type of stress or any kind of stress? Like say finance stress, financial stress
I would
will
ask you
be in
if you are
place
kind
or
of,
stress.
I would direct the question then, what are you stressing about? Because I
Right.
can't really know what the stress is about. You would have to tell me. So for me, it would be more kind of easing into. So Alicia, what are you stressing about at this time? What's going on in your head? What's kind of stressing you? Because typically there is something here.
But you know what my stress is.
I do. So it makes total sense, absolutely.
Yeah,
So,
in
but
my case, matching the finance with the creative side, which is something that keeps popping up in
so
everything.
how are your hips? Could I ask you that? How are your hips?
Well, I've got a bit, I don't know if in English called scoliosis, which is my lower back, but it's that my spine is not straight right at the bottom where my hips are. But I don't feel, yeah, well, my lower back, but that I've had that since I was 18.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, on the right hand side and
Right
bottom.
side, the masculine side.
The masculine side, yeah, we were talking about that last night, weren't we? Which I thought was
Yeah.
quite interesting. Yeah, the masculine side. And also, if you think about the brain, this is the logical side is actually your right side, even though it's ruled by the left, right? And then
the right side is the masculine side, the left side is the feminine side. And for me, as I told you,
this is the animus and this is the anima. Mixing everything up.
But it's kind of sad because I have all my issues on my masculine side. For example, when I had the prolapses, that affected my right arm. When I had, for example, now I have a problem with my hip. It sounds like Cecilia, 8 years. But it's everything is on my masculine side.
Yeah.
Don't have a problem with my feminine side, the left-hand side. But it's everything on the right-hand side. It's probably got to do, as we talked about previously as well, that with I'm kind of alone with two kids. Sounds like I'm really, and I'm responsible for everything. So my masculine side is quite dominant, if you can say it like that.
Yeah, but there seems to be also the one that suffers the most.
Yeah.
Because it's the one with the struggle. And where do we get these notion or idea or theory about, because it's the first time I hear it, the right-hand side and the left being masculine, feminine. Where do we learn this?
I learned it when I did the reflexology.
So this is from reflexology.
This is from the reflexology.
Reflexology, right.
It's really, really exciting. It's the yin and yang, and it's our body. Mm-hmm. It's like, because the thing, when I do the coaching as well, it's like we're all a whole person, and everything is connected. So it's so many things you can actually take from looking at where your pains are. Where are the pains in your body?
Yeah, it's interesting how you can bring all of these to the business as well, having that this knowledge, which is what we're trying to talk about today. We've not really described what a multipotentialite is.
No.
But I think by giving examples, people can already see that we bring in everything that makes us, all the different careers, degrees, learnings, personality traits, we're bringing it all to the business rather than being so niche that you dismembering yourself. We're inviting people to analyze and see if they are these multi-skilled people. And normally, if you're an entrepreneur, by default, you are multidisciplined and you are multi-techie and you're multi-everything because you're having to do all on your own because you can't afford to pay anybody to help you.
Yeah. But it is, of course, it's a different to different degrees. And if we were to say what is a multipotentialite, the definition is a person with many interests and creative pursuits, someone who wants to do all the things. Mm-hmm. And the link you sent me as well, the putty, like you could score kind of on a scale. Oh, sorry, from simultaneous to sequential. Mm-hmm. And I was scoring like really high on the simultaneous because I like to do many things at the same time. So that's me, kind of what we say in Norwegian. We have got many balls in the air.
Yeah.
At the same time. And I do enjoy that. For me, that's kind of giving me energy. It's, when it's too much, of course, it doesn't help. But having a good amount, but not too many things, for me, gives me energy because I like to be able to switch and swap. And if I get tired of something and I think this is too, okay, then I can just swap to something else.
So how do you organize your time? Because we were talking about these and we tend to be pretty crap at time management.
What?
Because we want to do so many things that we want to fit them all at once. At least I do. And what would you recommend if someone is, the people that are going to listen to us, let's hope there are thousands, and that they think, well, first, I'm not quite sure what a multipotentialite is and how can I get to know what I am, the lab tests, and that's what we're going to put down in the...
And then the links below as well.
And there are various multipotentialites out there talking about it. So my recommendation would be listen to different points of view because everybody adds their own stuff as well. The one thing that I think is important in the definition is that they tend to say that a multipotentialite is someone that gets tickled by an interest because their curiosity is really high. And then they pursue that, whether it'll take weeks, months, or years, until they've had enough of it or where they feel they've done. But it looks like they quite, which is the part I'm not quite sure about, they tend to be really skilled at the end of it. So they're really good. They can master this because they have like a type of intelligence that they learn really quickly. Now, I am not a quick learner, but I have this multi-potential skill
profile.
I'm super curious. And I think with people, we need to say as well, think of all your other tests that you've done in your life. For example, if you take the Gartner's test to find out what type of intelligence you have, I'm, for example, kinesthetic, so that makes me someone practical and handy. I need to live and experience with my body the world. So then I'm an INFP, which means that I have my, in the Jungian world, my intelligence is feeling the predominant, which we talked about it in episode 2, I think, or 3. So my predominant intelligence there is feeling, which makes me decide yes or not, I like this or I don't. So I can be very deterministic with that because it's just, it feels right or it feels wrong. But then at the same time, I think I might have some ADHD traits. And I also am a Sagittarius with a Sagittarius ascendant as well. So all of these things that we keep figuring out, that we're trying to say, well, what am I? Every time we do a test, and you know that we both love taking tests. Every time we take a test and every time we discover something new from us, I think it's important that we don't just go for the one thing, but that we put them all in the pan. This is to be the
meat on the pan.
In the grill thing. Let's cook this massive paella and let's put everything that you've got. So if we bring everything that we've got, for sure, we need a calendar, don't we? Don't you think that we need to be more organized and we struggle with this?
And that's why I just said to you before we started as well, it's like I live by my calendar. I need to have everything in my calendar. If it's not there, I will sometimes miss out. I will remember it, but it's just really, I have actually in my calendar, it says lunch. Every day it says lunch because I do struggle to remember to eat.
That's a characteristic of it.
It doesn't look that way, but I do.
No, but multipotentialized forgets the meal. So yes, by definition, that's, you fit in that one.
But the thing, I had a talk with a friend of mine last week as well, and he said the phrase, you probably heard it, like, jacket of all trades, master of none.
Yes.
And that was kind of, because I was like, yeah, but does it have to be that way? And I do not agree. And he was like, I'm just saying that, but kind of, that's a phrase. And I said, I don't think that's the issue here, because I think as a multipotentialite, you're really curious. And I think that if you were to get a multipotentialite employee or a colleague, you have the benefit of having a really curious person with multiple traits that can go off like the both of us do and find something interesting and really read up on it. None of us would say that we're a master of it because we don't feel like we're mastering mastering things too well, because we know that there is like so much more than the things we actually know and learn. So I would never say I'm a master at coaching or a master of digital media, because it's still so many things I do not know and do not comprehend. So
And even when you have, like, you've got your certifications and you got your qualifications, you know, I'm a philologist, and even then, when you leave university, you have all the theory. But I always thought, I don't remember everything, and I remember panicking, thinking when I have to use everything I've learned, am I going to remember everything I've learned?
Yeah,
I got really paranoid, and then I never thought I was good enough, even when teaching English and people saying, you know, and I saw the results and I saw how people pass the exams with really good marks. And I always used to say to them, and I still do, it's not so much about me, it's about how much work you've done. I've just been inspiring you.
Yeah, you're the facilitator.
Yeah, but it feels like, at least I do feel like, it, maybe because I'm also a perfectionist, bringing into all the other characteristics. When you're also a perfectionist, it's never enough.
Never.
It's never good enough, and it could have been done better, and which actually has a negative side to this. Well, when you're a perfectionist, then it's quite self-destructive as well, and, you know, the other things that happen with that. But I think if people were now listening this about this trade for the first time, what would be your invitation? What would you suggest that they did? To accepting that this is part of who they are, and why not use it, bring it all on the table and say, my business, why does it have to be such a niche business that I leave parts of me behind? How can we bring all these skills into one business that, and it doesn't look messy? I think that's the key. That people walk in and don't think, oh, is this a supermarket? What are you selling? Because it's also important to have some kind of branding.
Absolutely.
You know, that one day you're not in pink and another day you're in black and another day you have one logo and 3 days later, like me, I keep changing logos. Then you need to be identified. There are some rules of the game, but how much can we bend those rules being multi-potentialized?
I think that is actually up to us to do, because as you know, I've been kind of working with my own business the since I started it. But the thing about, for example, for me, just to take the example, I have the digital marketing like on one web page, and I have coaching on the other one, because for me, it was kind of talking to people. Those were two really different things. They were like, oh, you can't really combine the two. And I was like, no, I probably can't. And then it was like the discussions we have had as well. It's like, but this is me. I'm not schizophrenic. It's me. So how can I actually combine the two or everything and just saying that this is me as a business? And that is kind of, for me, it's been knowing who I am, having the confidence and saying, as you said, in regards to the resume, actually bringing everything to the table. And this is actually me. I know maybe for you it sounds really, really, jack of all trades, but still, for me, this is me. I know how to do movies. I know how to kind of design things. I know how to build web pages. I've been building web pages since day one. And I know coaching. I know it's like, it's just, so I think the confidence in kind of being who you are and actually being willing to share that with other people, I think that's kind of the leap to take. And
when you are in your middle age, because I think for
are you saying I'm middle aged?
Never. Just think about because I've heard that before as well, and while watching videos and listening to podcasts and things that. I was listening. This is a good thing when you've got two or three languages that you can find and research the same information in the different languages, see what people think from different countries. And I came across some Spanish YouTube channel, and it was the girl interviewing this multi-potentialite, who, by the way, was retired, but not really. So that was, so can you really make money from this or not at the end of the day? And even he was confused. But anyway, this girl interviewing him, she was very young. She must have been in her mid-20s. So, and she was like, but to be multi-potential or to start your own business, make sure, and that was the thing that really annoyed me, you need to have another plan going. You have to have another business first or have a job that is secure, because otherwise you don't have the money. And then we go back to the circle of, if I'm working in something, I can't be working in something else. The day has so many hours. And then he said, but not everybody has the choice of having that spare time, having that job, because precisely a lot of entrepreneurs become entrepreneurs because they don't have a job. They are maybe waiting for interviews to pop on the table. What do you do in the meantime? What do you start pursuing entrepreneurship? Can you tell someone in their 40s or in the middle age crisis or in their 50s, like I'm getting there now, that I need to have a plan B? If I'm actually trying to make money from plan A, where I'm actually bringing a lot of other businesses because I've got multiple skills. So we also, I think we need to think of those people that maybe are starting their career and they have a specific situation because they might not even have a family that they're looking after. They might just be working for themselves and living on their own. And a profile like yours and mine, that we take care of our families and we might be the only source of income, or we need to be the only source of income. And it's a different situation. So can we say to someone who's older, maybe it's too late for you? I mean, I don't think we should say that to anybody, but
it's never too late.
Exactly. So it's never too late. But the approach should be different. How do you think, you know, what do you think about these, about different stages and...
But what do you mean there about different stages? It's like we get more secure the older we get. And this young lady on, like, she was 25-ish. It's like...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but we're all taught that we need to be... It's like we talked about previously. I don't know if we did that in the last episode, but... We're supposed to do one thing, focus on one thing. We need to have the focus. You're taught that, okay, if you take a degree, that's what you do. Okay, we do, what do you say? You're a scientist, you're a doctor, and that is what you specialize in, and that is kind of your way. But but that's not for everyone, because as we just said here, I took the film and media degree, but I also took a design degree later on. And then I took, for example, the reflexology. I've taken like several different coaching degrees. I've taken courses. It's like it didn't end there for me when I took the film and media degree. I started, I studied in Scotland for three years. And then I moved to Norway and I started studying again instantly here in Norway.
Yeah. But you never really stop learning things.
I don't. So, I know there are people that actually do, that are kind of satisfied. They do their degree. They take their degree. They get a job. They're satisfied. They wait every week, like for Friday, and then it's the weekend, and that's the way they live their life. That couldn't be me. I would die. I would really physically just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wouldn't work for me. But for those, that works for... I'm happy for them, but it doesn't work for me. And I don't think that would work for a multi-potentialite.
Don't you think that we are all born multi-potentialite? Because that was my next thought when I heard this. I thought, well, and who doesn't? Because I look at people around me, and I was talking to my husband as well, and he fits this profile so much because he was a linguist. Well, he's a linguist, and he never knew what he wanted to be.
No.
He took a job, he did a degree. He said, I only know that I like languages. So he took a language degree. But when he finished his degree, what do you want to be? I don't know. I only know that I don't want to teach. He had that clear. He didn't want to be a teacher. So he went to logistics, but it was in a firm, in a company that had German and French and Italian clients, so he could use his languages. But because he has a logistics mind, he was quite happy with that. But even now that he's retired because of his illness, I still say, if now that you kind of have more time for yourself and you can only have the energies that you have, what is it that you would really like to do? And he's like, I don't know.
Still don't know.
Yeah. Still doesn't know. Obviously, now the priority is his health, but even then, he's just happy watching his kids grow. he's happy watching his football, his rugby, reading his, he was reading the other day, he finished reading Dante in the Inferno, you know.
Yeah.
And that's massive, you know, it's It's massive, and he was like, well, when you get to this, you're going to love it. He's always my second opinion partner. But he doesn't really have, it's something that he really is taking the passion. I do get passionate. He doesn't. He just has what he considers his hobbies. And yet I was talking to him about this being multipotential, and he's like, I am like that. And actually, he's really smart in the sense that he learns something and he's boom, like that. Not like me, like, oh, hang on another time because I can't get it. I'm a bit slow, you know, and he's really fast and he's really smart. So even inside the multipotential life, there are different profiles as well, and they don't even agree between them. But it's so interesting. And then I look around and I see my sister, I see my dad. And there's a lot of people like that, that they have multiple interests. And yeah, they develop different things at different times. But they are not like these, for me, boring, monolineal people that they just die at the job. I mean, it would be fine if they were happy. But I see many, many people complain about their day jobs because they don't get fulfilled.
Yeah.
They really find hard to get out of the hamster wheel. I realize that a lot of people are around me are multidimensionalized. And maybe the society is not really taking us that direction. It's almost like everybody has to have make one decision and just die with that, even, you know, and I have.
Yeah, I think that it's like, as you say, it's, I think we're all multipotentialites to some degree. I don't think that everyone kind of has it bad as you and me, but I think it's like when you talk about, I don't know if you talked about the phrase in Spain, but here we talk like people have more things than you actually see. And I think that also comes into it. It's like, you're not just an employee at work doing, for example, say you are an accountant and the only thing you do is accounting. Everyone is more than just accounting, doing their job. Everyone has more layers. They have more things they're interested in. They have a life, hopefully, beside their job.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's society, as we just started talking about, it's kind of because previously, or say, 40 years ago, it's like, yeah, you're supposed to be a doctor. That's a, you're kind of looked up to, you're helping people, and that is your thing. Yeah, you're a doctor. So you kind of define yourself by being a doctor, for example.
Yeah.
And for example, having a doctor that's talking about digital marketing, for example, that book, it's like, you wouldn't really see that maybe.
It's very extreme, but
Because it's so different, but still, why wouldn't that be a thing?
We've not been told that. And it's almost that you can settle and that you are all over the place in your mind. It's that you're confused. You know, being a multipotentialite can be mistaken by someone who's not clear, who's immature, who's confused. And it's really scary when you start going back where this actually starts.
Yeah.
And it's what you've seen in the videos is when people start asking, what do you want to do when you're older? What do you want to be?
Yeah. What do you want to do when you grow up? It's like, don't know. As I tell my kids as well, it's like, I still don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. Still in a kind of a learning mode.
Exactly. And why not? And what's wrong with that? And it's like everything has to stop while you're learning. Well, now you can work on things while you're learning others. And that's okay. I've realized it's something really scary that I've not really realized before. You know, I do have some students that are teenagers and I teach English too. And one of them, we are precisely because they are at the age that they're starting to have to choose. When they finish next year, what are they going to choose for university, and they're starting to go to unis and figure out what degrees they want to take. And one of them, she's smart in any area. I mean, she just flies. She's creative. She's really good with maths. She is in philosophy. She stands out of everything she does. But everything means humanities and science. You can think of any subject. Anything you throw at her, she just does, and with flying colors as well.
Okay.
And the other day, what we were talking about, and she was like, well, I'm deciding that I want to be in science and probably biology. And I said, okay, what about you age 8? I remember you age 8 being super good at writing, super good at creating, painting, art with your craft, investigating. You were good at so many other things, because in the language school we did a lot of different topics to cover a lot of vocabulary and the structures and scenarios, and then in the summer they came home and we did like a summer camp and we cooked, and there were so many skills that we worked with while we were using English. And she stopped the other day and she was like, she kind of almost forgotten that part of her, which is even more strange to me, because a mom and dad are artists that creates dolls and sells them and paints them. He's in the basement of his house. He's got this massive workshop and he's fantastic with all these toys. In fact, I've got two in my background that from him. And mom, she's a painter. She paints, you know, paintings, portraits and things. So they are kind of exceptional jobs that normally you wouldn't consider proper jobs. Proper job, yeah? The word proper job is also annoying.
Yeah.
And she kind of forgotten. So it wasn't home. It wasn't mom and dad telling her this conversation, this vocabulary, these phrases. If society is where she's going to study, even though it's a school that was chosen precisely because they have multiple interests and they let the kids study their own pace, and when they're ready, you know, they're quite of free schools. And actually, I think they are Swedish oriented or something. So it's not a Spanish, yeah, it's like Creative, I think. No, it's like a creative, I don't know.
Montessori?
No, it's not Montessori. No, but it's similar, but it's not quite, but it's a similar. And, you know, this phrase, it broke my heart. So I presented to her this TED Talk that I sent you as well. And we talked about it. We analyzed the language. And then, and what do you think? And she was like, that's strange, but I don't think I fit into that category. I've been explaining this to my husband. I was crying because he said, how do you feel? I said, I feel terrible, because it's like society has destroyed a perfect, capable human being with multiple abilities.
But she didn't feel that she had multiple.
Exactly. She was like, that doesn't go with me.
Okay.
Well, and I said, okay, you age 8, you age 17, what's happened? And then she started to think, And then the following day she said to me, I would like to know your opinion about something, since you have knowledge in so many different things. What is freedom for you? And I thought, wow, okay, let's go.
Did she ask you that question?
Yes, and she wanted to know my opinion because I'm so open-minded. Her words, you're so open-minded. You've got so much knowledge about so many things that I really won't need to know your opinion. What is freedom for you? Because that was something that they were asked in school. And I was like, okay. I said, that's an easy question. Thank you.
So what did you answer that question?
Oh, man, we will need another hour of episode. Basically, to very briefly, because I went on for quite a while talking about this, I said that starting from when I was a teenager, when you start to want your own freedom and you start going out with your friends, and then I said that my mom had said to me once, where your freedom begins, mine ends. And that's a phrase that my mother told me, because every time I went out and I was out until late, she actually couldn't sleep. She really had a really bad time thinking if anything happened. back then we didn't have mobile phones, you know, and it was more difficult to contact.
Yeah, agree. Call me at that time, Pablo. Yeah.
Yeah. Go to a phone box or something like that. And so I said, my mom told me that sentence, that phrase once, and I thought, I don't want my mom to suffer. So when I was 20 to 23, I moved out. I'm actually divorced. So I got married and I divorced this man later on. But I wasn't at home because I thought, I don't have to make anybody suffer.
No.
Because I'm not there. And I don't want my mom to suffer, but I want to have a good time. It's my life. I need to live my life. It was very difficult. And so that was home, friends, myself, concept of freedom, how I handled that. But then social freedom as well, you have to think about. When we had the pandemic, a lot of people were very selfish. They didn't think about their neighbors. They didn't think about other people. They thought, I've been put in the situation where my freedom is caught. I've been imposed to stay home. And I mean, it's not an easy subject to talk about either, because there were many different situations, many different scenarios, and we can't just say everybody should have done the same. But, and I talked about my shamanic guide yesterday about this, because we have really opposite opinions about it. She thinks it's all about manipulation and, you know, she has other theories. But for me, people, whether it was true or not that there was a pandemic going on with that we needed jabs or not, I don't care. The fact is, people were told this is dangerous, whether it was true or not. This is dangerous. Please stay home until we find a solution. And people were crying because I can't go out with my friends, even though I live in the countryside and I can walk out my door and breathe fresh air and I can talk to my friends on Skype and on the phone, but I want to go out and have some drinks. You are flipping selfish. So in that sense, where other people's freedom started, you know, others ended in such a way that maybe you might have even killed others without noticing, because you may have had the virus and passed it on. Okay, so what is freedom? Are we determined? Even then, I took it to a bigger scale. I said, what about if you believe in God or if you believe in whatever energies, and they are the ones guiding us, determining what we're doing and playing with us. Are you free? And even if you didn't believe in anything, you depend on the cycles of nature. You depend on spring, on winter, on summer. You depend on the birds that land in your house. You depend on the food that you can grow in your garden. Are you free? We depend on everything. But freedom for me is in your mind. If you're happy with yourself, if you accept what you've got, if you work towards a better place, a better world, that's freedom. Always without hurting others, obviously.
But how do you connect this with multi-potential, like having multiple skills?
The concept of freedom.
Yeah, like when she asked you the question, when you said, okay, I think you thought that she was a multi-potentialite and she didn't think that herself. And she asked you the question in regards to freedom. So what was that kind of combination with?
It was 2 different days. It was 2 different days. One day was a multi-potentialite. And then as a consequence, the following session, she brought that other worry she had about the freedom thing. She said that I could write a book. Because it was fantastic. Yeah. She loved it. She loved the speech. And I was like, yeah, it's a risky speech. I can't really say this publicly. Although I'm saying it now again, and it's going to go out there. But yeah, it's a good question. How you connect that with being multiple? That's it. It's your freedom, isn't it?
Yeah, because what I draw from what you say in regards to multi-potentialites or having multiple skills and freedom is that for me, it's, I think the maximum usually for me during jobs is 5 years. It's 5 years and then I need to move on to something new.
It's a long time, actually. For me, it's a
It's
lot.
quite a lot, but it's as long as I kind of get to do many different things, I'm content. If I'm kind of allowed to dig into different things and just not do the same thing all again, and kind of being able to grow within the position, that would keep me there for a longer time. But I think, as you said, with the freedom is that maybe combining everything and knowing that this is me, I have all these skills. So it's giving me the freedom to be who I actually am instead of kind of narrowing me down and kind of, what is it, numbing some of my interests and the what is it, the curiosity and killing my, what is it, childlike curiosity, because I've been always been curious. I've always been like, what is this and what is this? And like really going around since I was a kid, always.
Did you
Dragging
ask for
people into the house, chup, 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 yeah, knowing this and that, and so for me, maybe the thing that connects the multi-potential life with the freedom is that, as I said just earlier on in this talk, is when you know yourself this good that you have multiple skills and that you're not afraid to actually say that, yeah, I'm good at crocheting, I'm good at online presence, I'm good at podcasting, I'm good at whatever, and just actually stand for what you say and stand for what you know and your interests, kind of being more secure in yourself. I think that's a freedom in
But
itself.
that's the key as well, is to feel secure. At
Yeah.
some point, we were told that this is not allowed. At some point, we were told that, at least here in Spain,
Yeah, but
in other
that's the same here as well. You're supposed to dig deep into something, one subject, and get really good at that, so you can actually excel in in some kind of job that excels in whatever.
It's a complicated one, and but I think maybe to start wrapping up a bit, if you want, what do you think would be the takeaways? I mean, it's a difficult subject, I think, because it's kind
It
of
is.
new to me as well, even though it's something that when I saw it, and actually I didn't see it, I saw it by my clients. She said, "Oh, I think I'm a multi-potentialite, and that's why I'm not gonna do marketing." And I'm like, "Don't be stupid. You need to do marketing, but do your own way." And I went and I searched for this term, and then I thought, maybe she's thinking that she's more than she is, you know. And then when I started thinking of her profile, I thought, no, actually, she's really quick. She passed a degree with like the highest marks and with nominations and stuff. She's really good as an astrologer. She's brilliant. She's quick and she learns things. And in a way, she's jumping a little bit. She's loving the gothic space, but she's exploring that. And then I thought, yeah, definitely it goes with her. And I didn't think much about me because when I saw the quick learning, I thought, nah, I'm just curious. But curiosity is part of it. And then obviously the algorithm kept feeding me with information. And then I started pulling the string again. I thought, okay, this time I'm going to look into it. And I did the test and all that. So I'm saying this because for me, it's a recent concept that together with the fact that I'm, what I said before, Sagittarius, I INFP, maybe have some ADHD traits, and maybe this and maybe that, maybe the other. And a woman and almost in my 50s, all these things that make you. It's basically don't be scared and start breaking down this wall that society has built for us where you had to choose and also choose what people would say a proper job, which is an adjective that I detest. Define proper job, as you know.
Is a proper job.
What is a proper job? It tends to go with good money. So if it brings good money, it's a proper job. Or are we talking
But I
about?
had good money last year, for example. So still, I'm sorry, Mom, but she usually used to say, it's like, why don't you get a proper job? And it's like, yeah, but I did.
That? Give me a
Yeah,
list.
what is a proper job? So what is the most important thing? I think that's something you need to ask yourself as well. It's like, that's probably where you get the freedom in, because what is kind of freedom and proper job for you? Being a
That's true.
multi-potentialite, if you are a multi-potentialite, if you find yourself like fitting the description that you have several traits and you're curious, and so what is a proper job for you? What is freedom? And
Yeah,
how can you take advantage of all your, what is a knowing and learnings into what you want to do? Can you do that in your job in which you have now, or is
I'm starting it. Yes, if you're asking me personally, I'm starting to do that. And I started by studying Carl Jung, as you know, and going into analytical psychology. And realizing that one of the things that Jung said was that he discovered for himself, and that's how his journey, part of his journey started, when he was trying to be more connected with himself into this, in his process of individuation. He said that he went back one day walking near the lake, and I think I've said this in another episode, walking near the lake. He remembered how, when as a child, he played with the stones and he created these places, and his, you know, his creativity started to work, and he decided to connect with his inner child again. So regularly he would play with his stones and he would be doing this, and then after that he would go and write about what he felt. So for him, which I think he was also a multi-potentialite, because he was interested in anthropology, he was interested in, he was a psychiatrist, he was interested in astrology, I said that, in the supernatural, in tarot card reading. It was everything that was a tool for introspection, in dreaming. He was interested in so many, many things. And it was both humanities and things we haven't found out yet, and science. And now a lot of the neuroscience that we get, a lot of the things are starting to support Carl Jung's theories on the importance of dreaming, for example, and what we find there in the unconscious mind, something that you cannot touch, but is there. And we can now test things with machines that are happening in our brains, and we can test all sorts of things. So for me, the freedom is there, is going back, because I'm almost 50, is going back to my inner child, going back to all those things that I loved doing when I didn't have the financial worry. And you see how it all comes together, and embrace that again by giving myself a timetable where I make sure that I do all those things. And
You
it's
have
a, and
playtime.
yes, I have my playtime and I have my words. And when I'm working on my brand, I'm also having fun because I'm investigating. And when I talk to a client now, and if he's in the gothic space, it's like I'm playing, because we're talking about films and books, and how the brain is put together in these scenarios, and how can you build your own thing through this. I am starting, but look, I'm almost 15. I keep bringing out my age. Yeah, my birthday is on November, in November. So like, why not? If I can have that look back, I would love for younger people not to even go there. I would love for younger people who are making choices now not to be traumatized future adults, because I can see it in their faces. You are going to be a traumatized adult, because you go, this is going to work for a bit. It's not going to work forever, because you've been neglecting part of you. And that's what Jung would say as well. Just embrace everything that makes you being you. And when he had multiple interests and he had to choose as well what degree to do, it was painful. He couldn't choose. He was about to start university and he had no chosen yet, because he was a guy with all these multiple interests. It was interesting, the human, and humans, we are complex.
But that's the
So
same thing where I kind of draw the digital and the mind and the neuroscience and everything together as well. And for me, as I started talking about a bit earlier in this episode, is it takes a while before you actually can see, because now for me it's really clear how I can connect all my traits into my brand instead of having these two different channels and websites, I know now how I can kind of build my brand and build these together.
Yes.
So for me, like the multi-potentialite, it's just knowing that this is me. I'm
Yes.
combining all of these traits. And for me, it's freedom, knowing that my clients also know that this is what I do, this is who I am.
Yes. Yes, and that's why we love you, because you are one of the few people who can actually see us all as a holistic thing. You don't just see a brain or an arm, you just see a person with multiple skills, multiple problems, and whatever you cannot address, you give us solutions to go and solve them and sort them out, because there might be things that, we only know so much about everything. But that flexibility, I think, also for mentors and coaches is super important that they also have. Otherwise, you're bringing your own shadows and you're bringing your own trauma, and you're putting that into the person that you're working with, which is something that we could probably talk in another episode, is
Yeah.
how you detach yourself from the client, and you actually help them rather than creating an extra problem and adding a problem to them.
That's a good
So,
thing. Yeah, but I think that's important. So talking to the people listening in regards to multi-potentialite, it's just I think it's embracing every part of you. And
yes.
if you don't manage to do that now, just have it in the back of your head and go think, but how can I actually embrace every part of me? It's like, as I said, we all have our shadows, we have our different traits, interests, we have all our different traumas, we have our childhood, our backgrounds, our university degrees, whatever. But how can you kind of take these and use it to your own benefit, to your own, what to say, if you're an entrepreneur and you use it for your own, for your clients, for
Yeah, and I
your,
think,
yeah.
I think at this point it could be that we could even invite them to our own space as well. Because sometimes it's really difficult, like you cannot really interpret your own dreams. It's very difficult sometimes to see all your abilities. So maybe the
Yeah.
invitation for the audience now would be to contact us and have a chat either with you, with me, or with both even, and to
Yeah.
see how we could actually help them if they feel that they have this multi-potentialite profile and they're not quite sure how to handle it, because it's kind of scary when you've been believing for a long time that this is not meant to be a job, this
Yeah.
skill is meant to be a hobby, and you can, even though there are footballers there that are earning millions and there are basketball players that are earning millions and there are musicians that are earning millions, but not for you, for other people. So maybe we could invite people to pioneer a high multi-potentialite business that would probably help them to be and make
Yeah,
everything
so
that they need.
work for them. Yeah.
Yeah, that will work for them, exactly.
And sometimes it's easier to get some other points of views from somebody outside. So if you're struggling with your business and wondering how can I actually build my business using all of my traits, maybe we can help. Maybe we can kind of have some things, suggestions for you on how to incorporate everything or some of it or the most important things for you. So if
Yeah,
somebody
absolutely.
has anything, reach out and yeah, we
Yeah,
can have that in
absolutely.
a different episode.
Yeah, digitalmindsanddreams.com. That's our webpage that is still we're still doing things because we are multiply
Always
creative.
developing.
But yes, little by little, step by step, and by all means, yes, if they can contact, they want to contact us, you want to contact us, then we're good at listening and suggesting things and putting things together. We love doing that as well. So,
Yeah, so send us an email or comment below in if that's in YouTube or wherever, send us a message on our website or contact us in social media, because it's always nice to speak to the audience who's listening and
yes.
look at how we can actually help people solve their problems, their pain points. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and all those things everywhere else. We're trying to sort our own calendar to be like more proficient, more efficient, more professional, all of those. And yes, in Spanish, we say, who wants to hook too much No, who wants to grab too much can hook enough. It's a difficult translation. So that goes very well with today's chat about the jack of all trades. That would be the Spanish linguistic
Okay.
idiomatic expression. So whoever wants to hook too much, no, is whoever wants to embrace too many things cannot hook them all at once or enough. So I don't know. Do you have a Norwegian similar phrase?
No, the only thing I think about there is like letting go of some of the things you don't need to hold on to. So
Okay. Yeah,
that
okay.
is what I kind of interpret when you said that. It's not everything you need to hold on to. So maybe some things you can let
Something
go
like
of to kind of make you excel.
Yeah, that is also important because sometimes not all the ideas are good ideas, but maybe that's again another episode. We've just in
Yeah.
one episode we managed to have four or five extras.
Yeah, but
Okay,
thank
so
you for today and thank you for listening. And I hope you find it interesting. And if you're a multi-potentialite, reach out.
and if you're not, reach out too because maybe you are neglecting your hobbies.
Well, maybe you're not a multi-potentialite. We would really like to hear it. If you think that you're not a multi-potentialite or a polymath, yeah, that would be really interesting in regards to listening. Okay, why are you not a
Yeah,
multi-potentialite? Yeah,
true. Yeah, turn it around.
interesting.
Yeah, Cecilia, you always turn things around. I like that.
I'm the difficult one of the two.
Good, it's good. Challenge on the table. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So speak to you very soon. See you in the next episode. And in the meantime, embrace your oddities.
Yes. See you later.
Yeah. Bye.